G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM.
Hey, hey, good afternoon, Australia, and welcome once again to Conversations. We are coming to you live, if you are listening live, that is, on Monday, the 30th of September. We are coming to you live from, well, all around Australia, really. I'm here in the Melbourne studio, and I'm joined by Robbie, who's up in our Faith FM studio in Brisbane. How you going, Robbie?
Hey, Brad. How's the signal coming through? All good?
Yep, sounding good to me.
Excellent.
Crystal clear.
Mate, I haven't been on this show for, I can't even remember how long it's been.
We've been thinking about editing, you know, a little intro clip to just say Robbie, Alicia, and sometimes Robbie, Alicia, and Brad.
Well, the funny thing is that a couple of weeks ago, I was up here in Brisbane and we stole this slot.
You did.
Aussie Pastor and Hunty, and it was like, I'm actually on the show. Own show, but I don't actually feel like it's my own show.
That's right.
How you been?
We're very happy to let you have it.
How have you been?
Good, mate. Do you want to know what I've been doing recently? And I'm sure you'll love to hear this. I have been harvesting and drying bush onions.
Bush onions?
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you get them up in Queensland because it's not wet enough, but down here in Victoria, if you're ever just walking through the park or something like that, and you'll just be walking past a stream or something, and it'll all of a sudden just smell like onions, and you think to yourself, what on earth is that? Well, I went and discovered, all right, I want to figure out, it just smells like onions, so can I eat these things? So, you know, take some pictures. They've got these cute little, like, white bell sort of flowers, and a stem that's a triangle shape, and lo and behold, they're called, like, triangle onions.
So let me get this straight. You just walked through the bush in Victoria, you smelt some onions, you decided to go digging, and now you're eating stuff out of the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a great recipe, mate. Great recipe.
Mate, it works. It's really nice with eggs or with potatoes. My wife is really enjoying putting them in all of our mashed potatoes now.
Wow. So, the last time I heard about people scavenging for food in the – foraging for food. That's the word, not scavenging. But foraging for food out in the forest, they end up quite sick.
Yeah, that lady with the mushrooms, wasn't it? Well, I'm a bit more careful with mushrooms.
Yeah, no, good idea. Yeah. Hey, it's Conversations, and we are really we're going to have a real organic conversation like we normally do, where we haven't actually unpacked what we're actually talking about, except that I shared with you a video this morning that's doing the rounds on social media at the moment. It's a video put out by Tucker Carlson.
Yep.
And, it's quite interesting. I haven't watched the whole thing. I watched a fair bit of it. But we're going to have a chat about what's happening in the world right now. There's some really interesting stuff happening. There's claims that there's revival amongst faith-based movements. There's an awakening of truth versus deception and misinformation. This is a really interesting time to be living in.
Absolutely. Yeah. For those who don't know, like, Tucker Carlson is a big – he used to be a talk show host on a major news network over in the United States, and he's kind of gone independent now based on some different bits and pieces that happened. But it basically now –
He got fired.
Yeah. that's one way to put it. But now he kind of does an independent thing where he does interviews with all sorts of different people from all sorts of different backgrounds, you know, politicians, economists, professors, comedians, you know, sports people, you name it. And it's just really interesting kind of, blunt's not the right word, but it's kind of just spontaneous conversations. It doesn't really feel like there's a particular agenda other than to hear what the person has to say.
It sounds like you've been watching and taking notes from conversations of Faith FM, mate. Natural conversations, seeing where they're going.
Yep, that's
right. Hey, if you've missed any episodes of the conversation, and I've missed quite a few of them, you can catch up on the Faith FM app. Get it from your app store. Hopefully you've all got it installed now on your phone, because it's not just conversations. You'll get a whole range of all the great and amazing programming that we do here at Faith FM. But if you've missed any of the episodes, you can also claim the prizes and giveaways. Mm. Brad, we've got a show number, and I don't remember what it is. Can you tell us what the show number is? You can text in. Ah, yep. There it is. Put it on the screen. 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. And what I've been saying on other shows, because I've been on some other shows recently, primarily Aussie Pastor, I've been saying, if you don't know how to write down the show number fast enough, you can just go to the website faithfm.com.au and look for the show numbers, and you'll find it there. And you can always claim the offers after, even if after the show's gone off air. So there's no excuse, basically, but we'd love to hear from you. This is a conversation. We really enjoy hearing your inputs and your thoughts. I hope you have the screen up, Brad, because I don't.
Yeah.
If people are texting in. Yep. But you text us in. Let us know what you think of today's conversation. We're going to be exploring this idea that there seems to be this almost countercultural awakening. And that sort of sounds woke, but it's the anti-woke awakening. And we want to unpack some of this conversation and see if there's connection to faith, to Christianity. Definitely this video that I shared this morning is claiming there's something in the Christian realm that's helping people wake up and see. Now, we're going to have a talk about that throughout the course of today's conversation. But Brad, you've been collecting onions. Where's Alicia? I thought this was supposed to be Brad, Robbie, and Alicia. What happened to Alicia?
Yeah, so Alicia is working away from the office today, so she wasn't able to be in the studio. But I think it was because she wanted to give you some extra time to share with us, Robbie. So yeah.
I miss having Alicia. Alicia has the more balancing view to us.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always been good. But we should also give a shout out. If you are watching this on Facebook or YouTube, we would love to have you join this conversation. You can post your comments to the video, and hopefully we'll see it if this system works still. It's been a while since I've used it. But we would love to hear your conversations. Brad, what happens normally at about this time in conversations when I am on the show? Do you remember?
It's a struggle, but I think I remember something about a bit of trivia. Although I wonder, Robbie, with the trivia, like, you know, with what happened on this day, I wonder, maybe we can make it into a bit of a game. So when you're putting into ChatGPT, could you get it to put it out as like a multiple choice and then I can guess?
Oh, okay. Let me see this. Can you give me this as a multiple choice to be more fun? How's that sound?
That sounds
Let's
good
see
to
what
me.
It does.
Yep.
All I right. love sure trivia. Sure thing.
You can turn literally anything into trivia, and I'll be into it.
All right, here we go. Yep. We are ready for trivia. Hey, do you have my drum roll? Because I've got a new machine here, and I don't have my drum roll on.
Oh, I don't think I have your one. I think I've got a different one. Oh, wait. Hang on, let me check. I'll make sure I get it.
All right.
Oh, hang on. Let me make sure. I'm just trying to make sure I don't explode your eardrums. Let's see.
Yeah, please don't do that.
There you go. It didn't have a symbol at the end.
It didn't have a symbol at the end, but I'll take it. All right. Yep. So this is the most requested segment on Faith FM, according to Robbie, at least.
Yeah.
For this day in history, sponsored by ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Now, we have done something different on this episode, and I've done it just now, real time, right here on Australian radio, right here on Faith FM. I have turned this into a game. So, Brad, are you ready? Since you're the only contestant, you're either going to win everything or walk out of here with absolutely nothing.
All right, sounds good.
If you can answer these questions.
High stakes. All right,
here's the first question. On this day, September 30th, in 1956, which major... This feels like a real game show now. Which major media event took place in Melbourne? A, first Melbourne radio broadcast. This is 1956. B, Melbourne's first colour TV broadcast. C, Channel 7 began official TV transmission. Or D, the first movie theatre opened in Melbourne.
Ooh, I actually think I think that one is C. I think it's Channel 7. Because I feel like the other ones would have been way earlier.
You are correct.
Hey.
For $1,000. All right. Question number two.
Yep, yep.
What happened on this day in history, September 30, 1978, related to an infamous attack in Sydney? A, the Sydney Opera House opened. B, the inquest into the Sydney Hilton bombing. C, a major riot in Sydney CBD. Or D, the first public protest for environmental rights.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm the wrong person. I feel like I need to phone a friend who's a bit older for this one.
All right.
Oh, let's... It said it wasn't a major event, so let's say... What was it? There was a riot or something, was it?
There was, so the Sydney Opera House opened, an inquest in the Sydney Hilton bombing, a major riot in Sydney CBD, or the first public protest for environmental rights. Which one do you think it was?
I reckon it's D, because I can't think of any...
We've got people joining us on Facebook, mate. Someone's
saying question two.
Go B.
This is my phone a friend, so all right, we're going to go with B.
All right, so B... Who is it, by the way? Tanya. What's the name there?
Tanya. Mann.
Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya.
So Tanya has said, go for B. All right. So B was an inquest into the Sydney Hilton bombing. Are you ready for the answer?
Yep. Hit me.
All right. Here we go. The answer was there was an inquest held into the bombings of the Sydney Hilton earlier that year in February. This attack killed two garbage collectors and a police officer during the Commonwealth Head of Government Regional Meetings, CHOGM. Inquiry and subsequent events were pivotal moments in Australian security history. Wow. Well, I don't know if you picked B, but you got it right.
Well, indirectly, thanks to some help, but no, I would have thought it was... Yeah, she said, yay, because she could.
Yay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Yep. Question number three. In what year did the Australian economy begin to feel the impact of the Great Depression, leading to severe economic struggles? You've got four options. 1901, 1929, 1945, or 1955?
Oh, that's an easy one. That's 1929.
And the answer is 1929.
Good, yep.
Wow, very good. I'm impressed, Brad. Thank you. Pretty well. You've walked away with a 3 out of 3, and you get today's amazing gift, which is a Faith FM pen.
A Faith FM pen. No, I don't actually have there one. I only get pencils, so it's an upgrade for me.
All right. Well, look, that was an interesting way of doing this day in history. I don't feel like I actually learnt anything, but there you go.
You need to maybe next time make it harder. Get some real.
It'll be good if Alicia was here, because then it'll be like the two of you against ChatGPT. Makes it a bit more interesting.
Yep. No, I'm keen for
that. All right. Well,
you've sold me on it now, Robbie. I now like this part of the show. So good job.
All right. Well, we'll do it next time. We'll do it Q&A style.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Where we going now, Brad?
How about we go for a song and then we'll come back and we'll start digging into this topic of revival. Sounds interesting. All right, we are going to hear Will Morrison with The Lion and the Lamb. You're listening to Conversations right around Australia. If you're listening live, today is Monday the 30th of September. We'll see you after this song. Every knee will bow before the Lamb.
can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Yeah, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, a lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 04888 18500. That's 04888 18500.
Welcome back. That song you heard just then was Will Morrison from with the song The Lion and the Lamb. I was going to say from the album The Lion and the Lamb, but it's also the album The Lion and the Lamb. So there you go, Will Morrison. Welcome back to Conversations on Faith FM. Before the break, we had a successful attack of trivia in Robbie's variation of the what happened on this day from ChatGPT, and I quite enjoyed that one. Maybe you like that one. Maybe we should go for a few more next time, make it a competition. Who knows? Let us know on 04888 18500. You can always join the conversation at any time, or you can send us a comment on Facebook or YouTube, where we do a live video stream of this show. So maybe you're listening on Faith FM and you actually want to know, what does this Brad guy look like? What does Robbie look like? You can always jump on social media and you can have a look.
Or you cannot and remain peaceful.
I think we're going all right, Robbie. We're fine.
Hey, Brad, mm-hmm. That was a good song. I don't know if I've ever heard that song before. Good pick.
Yeah, thanks. It's a nice one.
And, hey, do we still give away offers on this show?
We do. We make sure every single show we have a really great free offer for people. Sometimes, so last week, for example, we gave away some Faith FM mugs. We told people we were going to mug them, and we mugged 5 people. And if you were one of our winners from last week, we'd love to see a picture of you once you get your Faith FM mug. So make sure you send us a little picky on the Facebook page, probably the easiest way to do it, because we're always keen to see what you actually think of some of these free offers that we give away on the show. Sometimes they're books, sometimes they're DVDs, sometimes they're CDs. Sometimes it's even just links to resources or important things that we're finding on the internet, like YouTube series and that sort of thing, that really connect in with the topic of conversation we're having. So there's all sorts of great stuff, and just make sure you save the Faith FM Conversations number in your phone, 04888 18500, because that's the number you'll need to use a little bit later on. We're going to give you a code word and you can text in and claim something awesome.
Are we going to tell them what today's giveaway is?
We'll tell them a little bit later. We've got to get into the conversation.
Oh, it's a secret, is it?
It's very, only a little secret, you know.
All right, well, let's get started in today's conversation, which is, I don't even know what to call it. I think I called it online. I called it What's Happening in the World.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned in the intro, this is a reaction to, you know how on social media they do these reaction videos where people watch a thing and then they react to it, sort of thing.
Yep.
I guess it's kind of like that, except we're not going to play it back. We're just sort of going to talk about it. But it's kind of a reaction to primarily the video that I found was on my feeds last night, and I had a quick watch of it, and I was like, wow, this is super interesting, and it's worth having a conversation about. And then, I forwarded it to you this morning, and you've had a bit of a look at it too. Mm. But there's a growing pattern, at least in the algorithm that I'm on. We've all got our own little custom versions from what I'm told. These social media platforms sort of feed us what they think we want to get. And then when we happen to dare scroll on it or watch it for a second, then it goes, oh, it's confirmed. So we're going to reinforce that little loop and just keep feeding you those things. So for whatever reason, the last couple of months, I've been seeing more and more, kind of influencers / celebrities sort of come out and acknowledge spirituality. Let's leave it at a high level. Some of them are specifically coming out and saying that they are now Christian when they've been formerly very, very opposed, whether verbally or just in their lifestyle. But there seems to be this growing trend. Now, when you first see one person and that you've known has been a bit of a anti-Christian type character come out and say, well, actually, I've seen the light and I'm now a Christian. Your first, and it's very sad, but our cynical response here in, well, at least for me, I won't speak for the whole of Australia, but our cynical response is typically, yeah, I wonder how genuine that is, right? Mm, yep. And then or the other comments you hear is like, well, I wonder how long that will last. Like, what fad's that? And I guess I have to admit that I kind of, after you see a couple of these sort of celebrity type influencers come out and say that they're now spiritual when they've clearly not been, the first question is skepticism.
Yeah.
Well, allergies. What's behind that? Well, yeah. Are they trying to get more fans? Like, what's the reason?
Get more money, you know, all those sorts of things.
But the thing is that this has been going on now for at least a good year. I've seen more and more people coming out online and, they're acknowledging spirituality. Some of it's Christian, some of it's Islamic, some of it's other different flavors, but it's kind of like a pushback from where the world's been for like the last 10 years or so. The last 10 years, I feel like we've been, the society, at least in the West, has been pushing and pushing and pushing us away from spirituality. And it seems like there's been a bit of a tide turn. And that's really what this video and why it got my attention. It was basically this idea that the world, something's changing. There's a great awakening happen. Now, these are not my words. I'm not saying I agree with the conclusion that the video is making. But there's this idea that something is happening in the world right now and that there is a Christian awakening taking place. And this is what it says in the title. It says, people are asking questions. People are looking for answers. And so I thought, let's have a conversation on this episode about, first of all, how did we get to this situation in the world where, you know, I can remember even, it has changed a little bit, but I can remember like at least 2 or 3 years ago where you were very, very careful in what you said on anything happening in our country, in the world. And I can sort of trace it going back to at least 2016. In 2016, when the whole Trump thing started, and, you know, Clinton and Trump. And at the same time in the old world in Europe, there was Brexit referendum taking place, all sort of coincided around the same time. And I remember sitting in the office, and I was working in a corporate environment then, and I was sitting in the office with a whole bunch of secular Aussies, and one person there happened to say, man, Trump made a really good point. It was during the debates, like we had it playing on the screen in the office during the debates. And one person there, and he's not a conservative by any stretch of imagination, he's more of a Greens type voter, but he said that was a really good point that Trump made. Well, when he said that, the entire team that we were working in just unloaded on him to the point where he never dared say another word about anything, even though he wasn't a Trump supporter. And I started saying to myself, I said, wow, this is interesting. We're getting into a place where we can't even share our opinions without being shut down. It's sort of like that tribal mentality where you've got to think like the tribe, and if you dare think outside, we will, you know, but beat you back into subjection sort of thing. Mm. So I think from then, and after that, we had the marriage debate here in Australia, and people felt very unable to communicate what their opinions were on that side, either side of the political argument. And then recently we had The Voice. Same sort of thing happened there. And, you know, now we're going back for round two of the American elections with Trump being one of the candidates. And it's almost like deja vu. But the difference this time is it seems to be more and more people saying, you know what, we've had enough. We're going to speak our minds on whatever topics. It's not just politics.
Hmm.
And so I thought, this is really interesting. Have you noticed any of this, Brad? Have you seen or felt this in the last couple of years, or am I completely imagining it?
Yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. I mean, for me, I think it's kind of been since, you know, that kind of mid-2010s sort of time period, because I think up until then, there was kind of a feeling that, oh, social media serves a great purpose, right? It allows me to connect with my friends, and we can share, you know, funny videos of cats playing pianos on YouTube, and, you know, we can do fun things together, and we're not being judged for it or anything like that. It's just another avenue of the normal social interaction we might have with other people. But then, yeah, I think around that kind of mid-2010s, something really changed where suddenly, instead of social media being something fairly, even you could even say private to a degree, because it was you and your friends and that's all you really saw or you're engaged with. But then suddenly it kind of opened up and people were becoming online celebrities and everybody was watching and paying attention to what you did or said, and, you know, anybody could share that anywhere. And so suddenly people became very careful about, oh, am I saying the right thing or the wrong thing? And, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a real...
It was like the birth of the influencer.
Yeah. And for me, what I saw, and I still think about this today, right, is... As the way that people would interact online really shifted, even just in social media itself, it really shifted from, if you saw somebody post an interesting photo, for example, initially people would comment and say, oh, that's really interesting. Ha ha, you look funny. Oh, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. Whereas it kind of shifted from that to just doing pressing a button and leaving a like reaction or something like that. So the interaction became less authentic, less genuine to me at least. And so I think,
and it's,
well, what you've kind of ended up with over the last 10 years is basically online interaction has become equally really important and also really unauthentic. And so people have been trying to chase the online appeal and saying, oh, look how great I am. And, you know, please like me, please love me. And eventually have kind of got to this point where they're suddenly going, what was the point of it all? Where's the purpose in the meeting I was supposed to get out of this? You know, the connections I was supposed to make, it's not really there. What can I actually find in life that does actually give me meaning and purpose?
Yeah, it's almost like a bit of a pendulum effect, isn't it? Like we kind of went out one way and now it's kind of like the tides turns almost and the pendulum's coming back the other way.
Mm.
And yeah, that's exactly how this sort of video came across to me, because Tucker Carlson, as we mentioned before, he's a former, and I don't know if he was a news anchor more than a show host sort of thing, but
sure.
He used to do talk show type stuff with, I think it was Fox News or something.
Yep.
Anyway, long story short, he now runs his own thing, as you mentioned in the intro, and he's been interviewing different people, and he interviewed this guy a couple of weeks ago, which I watched, which was fascinating considering, like, my area is Bible prophecy, and I'm very fascinated, not just about the Bible and its prophecy, but seeing what's taking place that's shaping society into the very image of what Bible prophecy predicts. And a couple of weeks ago, Tucker Carlson had on his show an interview with one of the hosts, one of the interviewees he had on this video as well. And this guy is a country western singer, and I think it's John Rich, I think his name is.
Yep.
But he, on the other episode I saw a couple of weeks ago, he was sitting down saying, listen, to Tucker Carlson, he said, I think what we're looking at is the starting groundwork, or laying the foundation for the groundwork for the coming mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a Bible student, that got my ears up straight away, obviously, right? Because this is something that normally gets delegated to the realm of science fiction or Christian fiction at best. But here it's getting into sort of, now they wouldn't call themselves mainstream media by any stretch of imagination, but it's getting into a lot of people's algorithms to watch this content now about these people, these Christians saying, listen, my eyes are open and I'm seeing stuff and I think we're heading to a different time than what we're used to. And it's a time that's aligning more and more with Bible prophecy. Now, what was fascinating is that almost about a week or so later, Joe Rogan, one of the most popular podcasts in the world, he's having a different conversation with another guy whose area is in cryptocurrency. And their conversation was around what's happening in the digital currency. So not cryptocurrency, but in digital currency and the central bank digital currencies. And the interviewee says to Joe Rogan, he says, dude, what I'm seeing happen in the digital currency space sounds a lot like the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. And Joe Rogan's like, what? What are you talking about? And so they pull up a Bible on the show. Like, this is the most popular podcast in the world.
Yep.
They pull up a Bible and Joe Rogan's reading Revelation chapter 13. And he's like, this is blowing my mind. So when you start seeing this happening, it's almost, it feels like people, I mean, I'm not saying everyone's got the right understanding of everything, but people are it's like they've got questions in their minds that they're not getting through the typical traditional historical methods. And now all of a sudden, something's happening and people are waking up. This, where I want to segue with this is I want to talk about one of the people I interviewed. That was Russell Brand. I don't know if you know Russell Brand.
Yeah, yeah. He's an actor, a comedian. I suppose it was kind of, what, back in the mid-2010s? Same sort of time, actually. He was pretty popular.
Yeah. And he was very, very popular for being someone who did whatever he wanted. And he was seen as a very chauvinistic pig, pretty sure, much. Yeah. He was a ladies' man, and he had no qualms talking about it. And he was into the scenes of all worldly pleasures. We'll leave it at that. We'll keep it PG or G-rated for this episode. But and so he's lived this life, and he's been a very funny man, very crude man. Everything's got innuendos, and he's been very popular. And I never really liked him, to be honest. Some of his jokes are funny, but it's just a lot of innuendo, and it's all very trashy.
Yeah,
sort of thing, right?
I guess kind of the appeal was that, he did come across as a bit lackadaisical and arrogant and...
Exactly.
Not afraid to say whatever was on his mind and make fun of people and all that sort of thing.
Exactly. Well, he went off my radar years ago. Like, he sort of, I think he went to rehab a couple of times, and I think the famous thing was he married Katy Perry, I think it was, and then that lasted a couple of days, then divorced, then he went to rehab with drugs abuse and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so he went off my radar.
For a few years, he was kind of into, I wouldn't call it mysticism, but kind of like the Eastern, you got to be meditating, you got to do et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of New Agey stuff almost.
Yeah, for sure. All that Eastern sort of open your mind and find the universe sort of thing. Well, he popped back into the algorithm again, showed up on the algorithm on the social media platforms. And this was around the time of 2020. And I saw him. I was like, Russell Brand. And the title got my attention, Russell Brand. And he was talking about the lockdown and how it was, because he's quite a libertarian in his own worldview sort of thing. At least that's what he was presenting himself back in the early to 2020. And he was basically going on about, hey, wait a minute, I'm not sure it's a good idea the government starts telling us what we can and can't do. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, he's a comedian having a bit of a joke, right? He's trying to get some clickbait and that sort of thing. Anyway, I watched a couple of things. I can't say I'm a devout follower of his or watching all his stuff, but I've seen stuff for the last couple of years, last 4 years or so, time and time again. And every time I watch him, I'm thinking, man, what happened to this, I can get any girl anytime, anywhere, and I can take anything at any time sort of guy to who's now talking about freedoms and rights and arguing for small government and basically liberty and freedom for all, right? And anyway, long story short, here's the point. About 6 months ago, I saw a video pop up saying, I've done it. I got baptized. And I was like, what? So I watched it, and sure enough, he's now come out saying that he has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he is a follower of Jesus. Mm. And so he got baptized. And so that was about 6 months or so ago. And so he's been invited. He was invited to this video I shared this morning on YouTube as an interviewee for a panel discussion on this idea that there's a awakening happening in society. But here's the thing. I want to just share a couple of the points that he made in the interview. He mentions that he spent much of his earlier life indulging in hedonistic pursuits, which if you don't know what that word means, it basically means pleasure, as much pleasure as I can possibly have.
Yeah, you know, in the American terms, you'd say the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle sort of thing.
Exactly. But being English, he says it properly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that makes sense because that's what he was famously known for. That was his lifestyle, right? He was famous for substance abuse and promiscuity and all that sort of stuff. But he says in the conversation, he says over time, he obviously started struggling with his addictions and he went to seek therapy. And what he says is, he says that these experiences that he went through, they represent a period of darkness and confusion in his life. Hmm. Now, if you go back and watch some of the interviews he was giving back then, it was like, oh, I've got it all. It's all made. I'm you know, on top of the world sort of thing. But now he's looking back going, you know what? This was a period of darkness. This was a period of confusion. Now, for you to say that there was confusion would imply that currently now there's no more confusion. So something has happened, something changed, right? Mm. And this is what he says. He says he gradually became disillusioned with the existing social and political systems, which led him to question the narratives promoted by mainstream media in the political institutions. He mentions a distrust for established figures and policies, such as the Iraq War. That was the thing that got him thinking about this. And that wasn't from the American perspective, it was from the UK perspective with Tony Blair and these guys. Because I don't know if you followed any of this stuff, but there's all this scandal that was uncovered with the Iraq War in the British side. And all this sort of stuff. But anyway, but here's where it gets interesting.
Killings of civilians and money going, disappearing and all sorts of things, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of political corruption in that war from the British side, not to mention even...
From every side.
Yeah, not even mentioning the American side. Yep. And like even here in Australia, I heard just the other... I've been with this about 2 weeks ago. They have taken all these war heroes in Australia who served... I think it was Afghanistan, though. I think it was Iraq. Mm-hmm. But they've taken all these war medals off them because they found that they had committed crimes of war. So,
you know, Americans
one's perfect.
The Americans have never left Iraq. There's still American military bases in Iraq.
It's unbelievable. Mm. Well, this is where Russell's story sort of, as he's sharing it, sort of his testimony, I guess. He says that he found Christianity and it had a profound personal awakening on him that led him to desire to be baptized. And like I said, 6 months before. And this is what he described. He described the feeling of accepting Christ as being saved. And he puts that in air quotes. And he realized that the struggle, and this is the key thing I wanted to talk about, the struggle, this is him, this is the going from confusion to clarity, the struggle was not simply about politics, economic differences, but rather a spiritual battle between good and evil. And so this is where it gets interesting, because up until this point, and I've seen this for the last couple of years as I've seen him on the videos, all of his, and it's not been bad. His views have been, it's been very political and trying to get rid of politics out of my life and let me live my best life and let people live their best life and so on and so on. But now he's gotten to the point where he says, you know what? I can see past all that. It's not, politics isn't the problem now. The problem is, there is a real supernatural spiritual battle between good and evil. And then he concludes by saying he began to recognize that the solution to humanity's problems could not be found in human systems, but only through a connection with the divine. And that divine was possible. That connection to the divine was possible through Jesus Christ. So think about this. Think of this guy's journey. He went from completely out there, not dissimilar. I mean, he's way more wealthier and popular than I ever was, but I lived in a life before Christ as well.
Sure, yeah.
And he comes to a point where he thinks he's fighting the good cause. And from the outward side, it's like, yeah, it's good what he's doing. But then he comes to a point beyond that and goes, you know what? It's bigger than politics. It's bigger than social justice. It's bigger than social issues. This is a supernatural issue. So this is basically what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this supernatural element to what's happening in society and how people are starting to recognize that what they've got now in that pendulum, like we've gone out one way, it's not cutting it. And so now there's this swing back the other way. Now, my fear is it will go too far, but let's not go there for today's conversation. So what do you think, Brad?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it is supernatural, the real problems?
Look, I mean, if I were to take this from the perspective and say, well, you know, if I'm not a Christian, right, and if I don't believe in God or whatever it might be, I would say, well, all these other attempts we've made as human beings to solve all the problems on planet Earth and turn it into a utopia have evidently not worked. And I know that every utopian just says, oh, well, it's just because they haven't tried my particular solution yet. You know, that's if only everybody would just do what I think was right, then you know, exactly. The political system would work then. But obviously that hasn't happened. And to me, I look at it as someone who does believe in Jesus and I believe in the Bible. And the Bible says that there is a spiritual war between good and evil, between right and wrong, between light and dark, between truth and deceit going on. And that as humans, we are naturally inclined towards evil, towards selfishness, towards getting our own way and having our own things. And you know what I mean? And so
yes.
If I look at the problems in the world, I'd say, yeah, well, that actually makes a lot of sense. You know, we're all trying to solve everybody else's problems and fix all these things. But the problem is, because we're all inherently selfish, it's never going to work. We're always going to be trying to ultimately get what we want, whether it's for us or whether it's for the people around us, whether it's for our families, whether it's for our ideas, me. It's all about me, right? And I guess for me, I look at this whole thing and I say, well, maybe the problem is something inherent to humanity. And the Bible actually describes that. It says that mankind has sinned and disconnected themselves from God. And God, whose ways are loving and unselfish. And I think most people would probably agree that if everybody on the world came together and did a handshake and said, all right, we're not going to be selfish. Every single person has to not be selfish. Do you think that would solve a lot of problems?
In theory, it would.
In theory,
if it was
it
possible for everyone not to be selfish, it would.
Yep.
I mean, this is one of the major tenets of the Buddhist faith. Mm. When I lived in Asia and I was studying Buddhism, so Buddha, he's four noble truths, right? Number one is the world. This is my paraphrase, but the world is messed up. That's number one. And the reason it's messed up, number two, is because of selfishness or attachment. We're attached to things, and therefore, because we're attached to them, we become selfish, and that's why the world's messed up. Why is there poverty? Because the rich are attached to their goods and their wealth and won't share. Mm. Why is there crime? Like, why is there murder? Because people are attached to things and they want to take them from people and maybe kill in the process. Why is there crime of the sexual kind? Because of... Yeah, anyway, you get the point.
Yeah, sure.
So Buddhists have the first point is the world's messed up. Why? Because we're selfish, we're attached. Number three is there is a solution. And number four is that you need to keep the eightfold path to enlightenment, and which is basically Eight right things. Think right, be right, do right, speak right, right intentions. Everything is right. You got to do it all right. And by doing that, you will detach from things and therefore not be selfish. And that's what the solution to life is from a Buddhist perspective. But here's the interesting thing. When I lived in Asia, and every Buddhist that I had a chance to study with, I would ask them this question. So, have you done it?
Have you pulled it off? Yep.
have you managed to nail the teaching?
Mm.
Because I agree with the teaching. I think it's true. I think the problem is we're selfish. I think at the root of it all, it's selfishness. I think because of that, the world's messed up. I think there is a solution to it. And I think by doing things right in life, you will change. However, here's the deal. Every Buddhist I've ever talked to, and I've met Buddhists, it's like Christianity, there's a spectrum. There's those who are culturally Buddhist and there's those who are devout Buddhists. The more end of the devout Buddhists are the ones who wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, they have a cold shower to wake themselves up, and then they meditate for an hour, and then they go through their day. They're attached to the temples and things like that. I've studied with these people, and I've asked them, so have you done it yet? Has anybody done it? Do you know anybody else done it? And the answer is no, only Buddha. I'm like, well, how can nobody else do it except for Buddha in the last 1,500 years? And here's the problem with it. The problem is that we're selfish, and as long as we're selfish, we can never not be selfish. You can try all you want, but because here's the main difference between Buddhism and Christianity. In Buddhism, the power to be a Buddhist is based on willpower.
Mm.
In Christianity, the power to be a Christian is an external power. And that's the power of Christianity, is that the power comes from outside of you to help you and to save you.
Yep.
Whereas in Buddhism, it's up to you, buddy.
Yeah.
how disciplined can you be?
Yep. And that's what I wanted to get at before, just kind of saying, well, you know, if you can agree that selfishness is the problem, there's two ways to get to it. Can I do it myself? You know, can I just not be selfish, even though that's inherently what I'm like? Or can I get help from somewhere else or someone else in order to achieve it? And I think, you know, what you said there, the difference between Buddhism and Christianity, it's spot on. In Buddhism, it's, well, ultimately, it's up to you, mate. And if you fall short, well, sorry, there's no one coming to save you. Whereas in Christianity, we believe that God looks at us and goes, I know that you can't do it by yourself, but I'm going to come and help you, which is amazing.
And it's not just Buddhism. It's actually every other religious worldview, even non-religious worldviews. So whether it's secularism or pure atheism, if there is such a thing, even those worldviews all arrive at the same conclusions, which is the world is messed. Like, okay, I used to be an atheist. As an atheist, you look at the world and go, the world needs improving. And guess how we improve the world? Education. If we can educate people, we will raise the level of skills, the level of reasoning. We can solve war because people will think about war before they go into war. We can solve homelessness because people will be educated. They can get a job. They can earn money and build their own house or rent their own house. People will have food. The solution as an atheist is the world needs improving. Same thing as Buddhists, right? World needs improving. The solution is that we need to improve the individual, because the individual has defects. And so we're going to solve that defect through education. And you say, but how can you have a defect if you don't believe in the idea of morality? It's a good question, because as an atheist, even though I don't believe in God, so to speak, I still believe in justice. I still believe that the police need to go down and arrest that guy who just killed his mother or his kid or whoever, or the guy who stole $1 million from the stock market. I still believe in justice. And so this is the ironic thing, is that we think, no matter which worldview you have, whether you're a Chinese Buddhist, whether you're an African tribalist, whether you are an Aztec, I don't think there are any official ones, maybe there are, but no matter what you pick, if it isn't Christianity, the onus comes back to you and your willpower to change. pick yourself up by the bootstraps and make a man of yourself is what my father used to tell me when I was a kid.
Mm.
Because it comes down to you. But in Christianity, it comes down to who are you partnering with? Yep. Who's the power? Have you got access to that power?
Mm. And look, even in Islam, what you say is true. Because Allah is not a personal God. He is distant. And if you want to make it to heaven, basically, you just have to make sure you keep the rules strictly enough. And if you keep the rules strictly enough, then Allah may choose to say, all right, I'm going to give you mercy and you can come to heaven. But it's all on you, yes. Right? You've got to keep the rules. Exactly. And you've got to make sure every single day you're doing the right thing. And if you don't, well, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because exactly right. Like even though there are similarities with a lot of the world religions, there are fundamental differences between world religions and worldviews in Christianity.
Yep.
And it's always in context of salvation. Like you just mentioned Islam, right? Like in Islam, you have to follow the five pillars of Islam, which is the profession, the daily prayers, the fasting, giving, so charity, and pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage to Mecca. Yep.
And these are considered essential to achieving salvation. Now, you tell me, what happens if you got nothing to give? What happens if you can't make a pilgrimage once in your lifetime?
If you're too poor.
What happens? I mean, obviously the faith one, that makes sense. You got to have faith to have anything to work. But what if you miss one of the five prayers a day? What if you miss one? And so it's the same concept, right? You go to Hinduism, it's the same. Go to Buddhism, it's the same. To some extent, not Judaism in the purest biblical sense, but in the traditional sense, has become a form as well.
Mm. Yep.
You keep the feasts. You do this, you do that. I mean, that's what Jesus' whole point when he showed up was. He's like, you are doing things correctly. Like he says, you're paying tithe. You are tithing even your garden. He says, and these are good. He says, but you're neglecting the most important thing of the law, which is love. And the only way you can have love is to have love for God in you, living through you. And so, yeah, it's absolutely essential that the difference is clear, that the difference in Christianity is that the power for the change comes from without. And that's exactly the point that Russell Brand is making in his sort of in this interview. He's saying, listen, I tried everything. And he actually now calls like going into the drugs and to the women and to all his adventures as being self-worship. That's the words he uses to describe it. It was the worship of self. He says, this is his view now. And I agree with him on this point. He says his view now is that human beings are built on the concept that they are designed to worship something. That's his realization. In fact, I heard him say this probably about a year ago. And I thought, this guy is so close to being Christian, it's not funny. He said that humans, in his experience, humans have to worship something. And for him, the object of worship has been the result of addiction or the resulting in addiction. So all these addictions are the result of him worshiping something. And so his point was is that there's only one place for a true object of worship to be in the human's life where everything's in harmony and balance, and that thing is God. And so he makes that point that I don't know if I'm cutting out or you're cutting out, but something's cutting out of you.
That's right. We'll keep rolling.
Well, I'm still here.
Just keep going.
Still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Maybe not. Okay. So yeah, anyway, it's very fascinating. So let's look at this picture, take a step back. So you've got people, popular people, celebrity people in the world at the moment going, hey, there is an awakening happening. Something is changing. People's eyes are seeing what they haven't been able to see in the past. And the question is, what are they talking about, this awakening to what? What I like in the conversation is Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand, they discuss how that because they had believed whatever was told of them for so long, they didn't even have something like inquisitive in their mind to question what's the real reason behind what I'm being told. And so they both point to, and I'm not going to get into the whole COVID, the whole backstory to COVID, but they point to what took place during COVID as the great divider. It either divided the population into those who said, wait a minute, and dared to ask questions, and the other group was those who just, no, don't tell me, put my fingers in my ears and blah, 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 I don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. And they point to what took place in the world, 4 years ago now, as the great divider. And ever since then, there are two segments of society that are on two different trajectories. There's those who are now going, well, if some of that wasn't true, maybe people are going, I don't know what you're talking about, Robbie. What are you talking about? Let me give you context. So during the early hours and days and months and years of the COVID era, we were told very confidently by people in charge that you can't do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do that because of XYZ, the data. The data is telling us, the science is telling us, right? Well, the problem is that what's turned out to have happened in the last 4 years is that a lot of those instances have turned out to be absolutely incorrect. And this isn't conspiracy theories. This is just the fact that science has now run its course and other people have had a chance to look at the data and now they've concluded actually we're wrong. And this isn't just on the fringes. This is the public organizations and media that are acknowledging this. Like, for example, South Australia Health, they acknowledged that some of their decisions around policy was wrong. And they were actually, in Queensland, some of the rules they put around, I think it was the police department and mandates, have now been ruled as unlawful by the justice system. So anyway, the point's this, is that these people sitting over there in the States in these interviews, they're going, so we asked some questions, we were told not to ask them and to get in line, and now it turns out the questions were actually good questions. They were valid questions. And it turns out that what we were being told to do was not actually in our best interest, even though at the time that's what they thought it was. And so now the question is, well, now we question everything. Now we just question everything. So no matter what you tell me or who you are or what you say, or what position you have, I'm just going to question everything. So it's created a really interesting environment in the, not just the country, but in the world today.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, for me, I suppose the questioning thing came about in the early 2010s when, you know, Julian Assange got arrested. And I remember, I remember when that happened, you know, I was at university and I actually was, I had to do a presentation about, like, in a journalism course. And so I did this discussion on, you know, is Julian Assange a journalist? Is he entitled to publishing protections, et cetera, et cetera? And I got a lot of backlash for asking those sorts of questions. And at the time, I didn't really think much of it. I just thought, well, what's wrong with having the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, everything that Julian Assange published through WikiLeaks came out to be true. No one was ever disputing the fact that what he had published was true, but it was just...
No, it was the fact that he published it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so from there, I was kind of like, well, hang on. If I'm just being told, don't talk about this, don't think about this, you know, it was kind of like, well, what else am I being told that's just is actually not true, but I just believe it's true because that's what people have told me that I should go along with.
Yeah. No, it's that's a whole another story, but no, yeah, along the same vein.
Yep.
It's incredible that we're we've been through this experiment, and it's still kind of happening in many parts of the world where it's like, no, that's not the narrative we want you to talk about. The narrative is, here is a traitor that has betrayed the United States. Mm. And it's like, wait. No, back up. That's not the conversation I want to ask. That's not what I have. I want to ask the question of, did you guys do this? Like, for real, you did this? Because that's not cool. No. He's a traitor. You know, like... And it's just exponentially snowballed since then. But it feels like that there is a segment of society, at least, that snowball is starting to melt, and people are starting to sit up and go, wait a minute, there's questions here that I want answers to, and I'm not just going to accept it. It reminds me of this Bible text in John chapter 8, and in verse 23, Jesus is having a conversation, and he makes this profound statement. He says, then you will know the truth. And then he says this, and I think most people will know this next part of this verse. It says, and the truth will set you free. Mm. And this is kind of the anthem of what's taking place, at least in the United States at the moment, is this cry for, no, we're going to pursue truth at whatever the cost, because the truth will ultimately set us free. And there is going to be, so I honestly think there's going to be some really big events taking place in the next couple of months, if not years, in the Western society, because the pendulum, I think, is going to go back the other way.
Yep. Well, let's keep talking about it. We'll go to a song now. We're going to hear Sarah Hart with Never Be Ashamed, but you're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. And remember, you can always join the conversation by texting in on 0488 185 00. We'll be back just after this song. See you in a couple of minutes' time.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM.
Welcome back. That song you heard just there was Sarah Hart with Never Be Ashamed from the album Till the Song is Sung. If you're listening live, today is Monday the 30th of September 2024, and here on the east coast of Australia, it's about 20 minutes till 5 in the afternoon. And Robbie and I have been having a really interesting conversation this afternoon about this whole idea of spiritual revival that seems to be going on in the world today. And we see a lot of celebrities, we see some big name people basically turning up and saying, you know, I'm not finding any meaning in all of those things that I was told for so many years would bring me satisfaction, would bring me fulfillment, would bring me happiness in life. And they're turning around and they're becoming Christians. So what is it about Christianity that is the solution to this other problem, right, Robbie, of not finding satisfaction in life? Because you'd think that with all the great stuff out there, surely you can be happy, right? Do you really need Jesus, or is Jesus, in fact, the real solution to our problems?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Brad. And I think if I reflect on my own journey, I was at a point when I became a follower of Jesus, I was at a point where when if you looked at me, you'd say, there's no reason this guy would need Jesus. There's no reason this guy. I mean, I was 23. I was living in a brand new house that I had built. I bought land. I engaged a builder. I built a brand new house. I was driving my fourth new car. I was spending more money on the weekends than I am earning now. you'd say, well, I used to say, I don't need anyone. I'm a self-made person, you know. But if I reflect on what happened in my life, which I think is what is happening amongst many people who have gone so far away from faith and religion and God, that they're having these same sort of epiphanies. And that is, I'll reflect on what Brand has said, right? He's talking about he saw things as supernatural. It's no longer just a physical thing. It becomes a supernatural thing. And for me, there were three moments. Well, there were three individual moments that happened in the space of about 6-7 months that I believe were the catalyst that put me into a mind frame or a frame of mind where I could go, wait, there has to be something bigger and more important than me. And it's a long story, but you can listen to my faith experiment on, I think, episode 1 or 2, wherever it is. But here's what happened. At some point, I recognized this. This is a verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 12, it says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, I didn't know that from, you know, the ABCs. That was just completely foreign to me.
Yep.
But I came to see this even without even having a Bible. There was one night I was in a nightclub, and I used to go to nightclubs because I like to look for opportunities to exercise my fists. And this particular night, it was quite warm. I think it was January or February. And so when you're in a nightclub and it's in summer, it's pretty hot. And so you get really hot and sweaty. And so I used to often go to the bathroom, and you'd get water off the tap there and splash in your face to cool down. Yep. So one night I'm in there, and I splash in my face. And then it's obviously as soon as you stand up after splashing in the face, you're looking into the mirror. And when I looked into that mirror, I saw behind me someone standing right behind me. Now, obviously, it's dark. It was like those blue lights or black lights, whatever they call them now.
Yep.
And it was dark, but there was someone standing behind me in the mirror. Now, if you're in a men's room in a nightclub and there's a dude standing right behind you, you turn around and you sort them out, right? So I turned around to sort this guy out. And when I turned around, there was no one there, like nothing. And so I was like, what? So I turned back around in the mirror, and there's this dark shadow of a person standing right over my shoulder, standing there. And so I turn around, and it's not there. I look back in the mirror, it's still there. So I start cursing and swearing at this thing in the mirror. And then while I'm in this sort of, what, you know, what's going on, I get this impression, which is, it's a negative impression. It's a dark impression, which is basically this. You are mine. There's nothing you can do. You can't run. You can't hide. You're mine. And it wasn't a good feeling like, oh, look, someone's watching out for me. This was like, no, it was very oppressive.
Mm, yep.
And so I did what any person would do. I ran. I ran out of that club as fast as I could, got a taxi, went home, and I convinced myself with all my logic and programming and all that business, I convinced myself that the answer to this problem was my drink was spiked, and that's why I was hallucinating or something.
Mm.
But I couldn't shake it. Couldn't shake that idea for the next couple of weeks. And then the second thing happened, which was a thunderstorm happened, and I was standing in the thunderstorm, and I was looking up at the sky, and this impression comes in my head, and the impression was, if there is an end to the world, it will probably start like this. And I'm like, who said that? What was that? I don't believe in the end of the world. And then the second thought that came straight after that was, and if there's a God, you're lost. And I'm like, where's that? Like, I don't think like this. Why would I think I'm lost? And then I have this playback in my head of all these deeds that I had done from the earliest memories, like, you know, primary school kid stealing money out of my mum's handbag and purse for tuck shop money when I was told I wasn't allowed to beating up kids at school, to stealing stationery from my office. There's a whole range of things that I was like paralyzed just viewing myself like in third person of all the things that I'd done. And while this was happening, I felt condemned, not because someone said something, but because of I saw myself as I really was.
Mm.
I saw my own actions. And so I came to this realization, I was like, wait a minute, is there something bigger than me? Is there possibly something bigger than me? And this verse in Ephesians, which you just read, it tells me that the problem in this world, as Russell Brand identified in that interview, the problem is not political parties. Yeah, political parties annoy me. Politicians irritate me.
Yep.
Policy can sometimes frustrate me. But my problem in this world is not political parties. The problem is it's supernatural. There's a spiritual war happening behind the veil.
Mm.
And believe it or not, the first book I ever read in the entire Bible, I bought a Bible, and the very first book I ever read was Revelation. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing except trying to cheat. I was trying to read the last part of the book, because it was a very thick book, right? The Bible's very, very thick.
You gave yourself a tough assignment. I thought
if I read the last chapter, like the last book of it, then I can find out how the story ends and it can be done. But it turns out that word revelation means the pulling back of a veil and seeing something that's not seeable, like it's invisible. And that's really what happened to me. And as that veil opened up, metaphorically speaking, and I could see into what this world was all about. This, you know, the Bible doesn't use the expression cosmic conflict, but it's essentially a cosmic conflict between good and evil, and as you said before, right and wrong, life and death, truth and error. Once you see it, you can't go back. There is no way and nowhere to go once you have seen it.
Hmm.
Once you've had the veil pull back, and you see it. And I think this is why David says, I think it's Psalm 119, verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Once the Bible has been opened in your life, and I'm not talking about, you know, you bought it from Koorong and you put it on the bookshelf. I'm talking about you've opened it, you've studied it, you've asked God for direction with it, and he reveals. Once that happens, there's no going back. And the people that, you know, sort of say, oh, yeah, I've tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. You didn't try it. I mean, my whole life's based around a faith experiment. If you are not experimenting to see if there's repeatable patterns with faith, then you haven't tried it. You know, Jesus says, taste and see. And so anyway, let's do a little Bible study. You got your Bible there?
Yeah, I do.
Open up the book of Revelation. Let's go there. Let's just go deep, you know. Why not? Yeah,
why not?
Go Revelation. I want to look at two parallel themes. Runs in chapter 18, Revelation chapter 18. We'll look at chapter 18, we'll look at chapter 14. And we're going to compare the two sides of this spiritual battle, right? So Revelation chapter 18, read verse 1 to verse 3.
Yeah, sure. So it says, after all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her. Because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of the world have grown rich.
All right. So we could spend an hour just on these three verses, but let's just give this a high level commentary, right?
Yep.
In verse 1, something's happened. It's the plagues that have fallen. And it says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, and he's having a great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. It means there's something, there's an understanding that's falling upon the earth. Now, I'm not arguing that that's what's happening in the world right now. I don't think this is what it's talking about. But the point is, there's a time coming when everyone's going to have vision, okay? Then look at verse 2. And he cried with a mighty with a loud voice, saying, Babylon. Now, Babylon here is obviously Babylon was the great city in, Iraq today.
Yeah. Yep.
It's Iraq today, right? But that whole area was Babylon. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, all that area. But here's the thing. Babylon literally means, when John wrote this in Revelation in 96 AD, there was no Babylon. Babylon was destroyed like hundreds of years before. But the point of using this symbol is because of what Babylon stands for. The word Babylon means literally confusion. And so what the Bible's showing is that at the time of the end, which I don't think we're too far away from, the world will be in a state of confusion. But in that contrast of confusion, along comes a light from this angel, and I think this is symbolic, I think it's literal, you're not going to see an angel fall out of the sky with a big flashlight, but this illumination comes at the time when everyone's mind is engrossed with confusion. And notice what it says. It says, this confusion, this Babylon's fallen, it's fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons or unclean spirits. And so this confusion is a prison. This is the state that the world is currently in. We're in a state of intellectual prison.
Yep.
And it's the dwelling place of demonic oppression, right?
Well, think about now, verse 3. What's going on even here in Australia. We're having all of these discussions about, do we need censorship? Do we need to have this misinformation, disinformation bill passed? Because nobody can figure out, seemingly, what is true or not. So the government's saying, well, right, we need laws to say, oh, this is true and this is not. And if you say something that we say is not true, then, you know, you get fined or go to prison. It's a state of confusion, very much.
Yeah. Now, look, I don't want to get political on Faith of M because I don't believe it. We should be political. But let me just say this. If we pass a law in a society, whether it's our society, New Zealand, Canada, UK, it doesn't matter which society. If in society we pass a law that says we forbid this information or misinformation or whatever it is, then I want everyone who's listening to remember this. What we're essentially saying is that we are placing somebody in the position of the arbiter of truth. So I don't think, if you think about it that way, I don't think anybody would be comfortable with that. I don't think you'd be comfortable saying, you know what, I would like somebody somewhere in some room somehow deciding what is truth for me or for anybody else. So a bill like this to me indicates that we're not thinking. If society is asking for this, and they may well vote it and approve it, and that's the society we live in, but if society is asking for a bill like this, what you're basically saying is that I'm not smart enough to figure out right and wrong, truth and error, and I want somebody else to think for me. And that is a very, very dangerous situation because, it's a great segue, by the way, Brad, verse 3 says, why is Babylon, why is confusion fallen? Because, verse 3, she's made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. And what it happens when you're drunk, I don't know if you've ever been drunk, but if you've been drunk, you lose the ability to reason. And this is the conclusion. Revelation is painting a picture that the time is coming when society will be in a state of confusion. Why? Because the system, and Babylon is a system, I could talk more about it, but we won't for lack of time, but the system of Babylon has caused us not to have the ability to think.
Yep.
And so in that context, the angel comes and lightens the world with their glory. Hey, I've got to ask you a question.
Yep. We've got about 5 minutes left, so...
That's the question I was going to ask you, because I don't remember what time the show shuts.
Yeah, we're up at about 5.
So very, very quickly, we'll wrap this up. Let's go to Revelation 14 very quickly. So we've got a world that is in confusion. They're drunk. They're unable to reason. And I want you to notice this, Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 6. So that was the bad side. This is the good side. This is what God's doing in this situation.
Yep.
Verse 6, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven." Say, what's he got? The everlasting good news or gospel to preach to the world, to those who dwell in it, to every nation, to every tribe, to every language, to every people. And this is what he says. "Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him." So here is some interesting ingredients in the time to wrap this up. Worship is essential. First of all, worship is a part of our DNA. Even Russell Brand said that. But worshiping of what and who is essential to our right-mindedness. Those who are worshiping God as creator, their mind is clear. They know what they're doing. They know who they got. They know all the detail. Those who are worshiping self and systems and arguing politics and all this stuff, they are confused. They can't think, and they're asking other people to think for them. And so the solution is this. The world right now needs this first angel. And then look at the second angel. There's three angels here. What's the second one say? Verse 8.
Mate, we're going to have to rush it. Verse 8.
He says, Babylon's fallen. Confusion has fallen. So when that angel comes and people turn their attention to God, they worship God, they give glory to God, confusion falls.
I like it.
What do you think?
Mate, it makes me think of Daniel 2 and chapter... Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20 through 21, where Daniel is basically saying... You know, God's the one who gives wisdom. God's the one who reveals the deep hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and ultimately, light dwells with him. That's kind of what it parallels to me. So, yeah, you know, this idea of there being a revival because the world is so confused and dark and dumb makes a lot of sense when you actually think about it.
So the solution is, Brad, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And everything else will grow strangely dim.
Yep, fantastic. Hey, we've got a free offer quickly for you today. It's actually a link to a video series called Beyond the Search. And, you know, in what we've been talking about today, it's been people who are searching for the truth in a world where it seems like it's all messed up and confused. If you'd like to get a copy, a link to this great YouTube series, Beyond the Search, all you need to do is pull out your phone and text today's code word, which is C0930. So the code word C0930, and text that to our show number, which is 0488-185-00. So one more time, the code word is C0930, and you want to text that to our show number 0488-185-00. Hey, quick shout out to Michael and Gary and Darren, who've all been texting in and sharing some comments over the show. Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate that. And thank you for joining us on Conversations today. Hope you've had fun. I know we've had fun, and we're looking forward to seeing you again same time next week. Bye for now.
Got some really good texts coming in, Brad. I have to read them and get back to you.
Yeah, we will. All right. Thank you, everybody. See ya.